today, except that I have a special guest on the radio show today, like I promised you. We have Gary Gorman, the 1031 expert this morning. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Donna. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
I am so glad to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, I enjoy doing this. This is fun.
I've been telling the listeners for weeks that they needed to tune in today to make sure and catch the show because I knew that a lot of them are going to have some questions for you. And we're going to hold the questions till after we take the first break, and then we'll let some people call in and ask questions. But we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about today, don't we?
Yeah, we do. There's some new things that have happened in the 1031 industry since the last time you and I talked.
That's correct. So we want to keep the public. The whole purpose of the show is to keep the public informed as to what's going on out there with the tax laws that affect buying and selling real estate. And there are some new tax laws that do affect that, aren't there?
Yes, there are. Some, there's a big court case and a big change in the tax law that happened just a few weeks ago.
Wow. So our timing for having you on the show was just excellent then.
Yep.
Because a lot of people, you know, they just don't know about this stuff unless they have an avenue of hearing about it or unless they, you know, have some kind of contacts. And that's one of the reasons why I do the show is to try to keep my listeners informed as to what's going on out there in the real world of real estate so that they know how to structure and plan their buying and selling real estate. And by having you to answer the questions, you know, you can help guide them in that direction. Now, you have a new book coming out, don't you?
Yes, I do. They tell me January 1st it'll be on the stands.
Hallelujah. I am so excited for you, and it's called Exchanging Up. Am I correct?
It's called Exchanging Up, correct.
Right. I am so excited for you. That's going to be great, Gary. Of course, I'm going to want to get a copy from you, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will want to get copies from you. Now, how would they go about getting copies of your book?
Probably the best place for them to get it would be off of Amazon.com. And the publisher is telling me that it'll be on Amazon like the second week in January.
Okay, second week in January. Because I imagine I'll have some people who will call me and ask me. They didn't, you know, maybe they didn't hear the whole thing. But we'll talk about it again later in the show, won't we?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you a copy of course, and then I'll send you some extra ones that you can give away on your show.
Oh, that's a great idea, Gary. I think that's
okay.
Super.
Yeah, as soon as it comes out, Donna.
Okay, that's great. So in January, everybody, you better listen in because I'll have a few of his books to give away free on the show, which will be so exciting to do that, you know. And thank you, Gary. We just really appreciate you being on the show. We appreciate your expertise and how you handle, you know, all the exchanges. And you've done some exchanges for me. And I just want to say thank you for the work that you've done, and I know my clients have been real, real pleased with your services.
Well, thank you for the business. You know, our business is built on referrals from our friends.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've always referred to you like as if I had gone to one of those doctors, you know, that I had known all my life, knew him, trusted him, knew I was in good hands whenever I went to him for advice, and that's how I feel when I talk to you. And that's how all my clients feel, too. After they've communicated with you, they come back and they say, thank you so much for sending me to your 1031 experts. I mean, they're just so pleased with that.
Oh, you're too kind.
Well, we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about this morning, and one of the things I need to do is to give away a free lunch. Actually, I think I'm going to give away three free lunches. And Rob, you want to join me today for lunch? You got time?
Boy, you know what? I will today because I told you last week I would, so okay. Today I will.
All right, sounds good. And Gary, I'd invite you, except you'd have a long way to travel. Gary's in Colorado, for those of you listening, and he's calling in live on the show today to be on the show, and we want to thank you again for that. Otherwise, I'd invite you to come in and go to lunch with us today, but since you're not here.
Yeah, I'm up in our headquarters in Denver, but I'd much rather be there because it's about 20 degrees here right now.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. It's about 60 here today.
Yeah, well, enjoy your lunch. I hope you eat out on the patio for me.
Is there some sarcasm in your voice there, Gary?
Some bitterness a little bit, maybe.
You know, I went to Colorado a few years ago on vacation and went into a ski lodge to stay. You know, one of their, I think it was Winter Park is where I was at. And the server was apologizing because it had just started a snow flurry. Now, being a Floridian, you know, born and raised in Florida, never having seen any snow, it was the most exciting thing in the world. And when he was standing there apologizing to me for the snow, I was like, what are you talking about? But I guess he'd seen too much of it, you know, just like you have probably, right?
Well, those of you that are skiers that are listening, the snow in the mountains up here is great this year, and it's going to be an awesome ski season.
Yeah, you guys have really had some good powder snow up there and some good levels already, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, there's good snow.
Yeah, I've got to get back to Colorado. Maybe I can make a business trip out there to see you and write it off, right?
There you go.
A quote-unquote business trip.
Yeah, yes. That's right. That's what I'm going to have to do. And I'm back. This is Donna Fries, and you're cruising with Donna, and we're kind of rolling with Gary Gorman from Colorado. Hey, Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning. As you know, Gary is our 1031 expert, exchange expert, and we're just so proud to have you on the show this morning. Let's get on into it, Gary. We don't have a lot of time on the show, so let's go ahead and start talking about those new law changes so that we can inform the listeners as to what's going on out there.
Okay, the biggest change was a change in the law that President Bush signed a few weeks ago. And it doesn't change 1031 law exactly. What it did is it changed a different code section, section 121. And that's the code section that you all know that when you sell your residence, where you live, where the kids and the dogs live. And that section says that if you've lived there for two of the last 5 years, that when you sell it, then $250,000 of the gain is tax-free if you're single, $500,000 of the gain is tax-free if you're married.
Right.
So what's been happening the last several years is people were selling their investment property. So let's say they had a purple fourplex up in Minnesota. And they sold that, and they bought a condo on the beach right there with you. So then to be 1031 property, they'd have to rent it out for at least a year. And then they could sell their Minnesota house and move into the Florida house and live there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then sell it and take, let's say, $500,000 gain because they're married.
Right.
Take that gain tax-free, even though most of that gain was rollover gain from the sale of their Minnesota property. Okay?
Right.
So to do that under the old law, you had to own the property for at least 3 years. The first year it being investment property, and then the next 2 years it being your primary residence.
Right.
Where you live.
Right.
So what this new law did that Bush signed a couple of weeks ago is it changed Section 121, and it said that if you bought the Florida Gulf Coast property as rollover property in a 1031 exchange, then in order to get your $500,000 exclusion, you had to own it for 5 years, at least 5 years. So the first of those 5 years would, of course, have to be investment property, rental property.
Mm-hmm.
And then two of the next 4 years, it has to be your investment or your primary residence.
Okay.
So the effect of this is that it changed the holding period to get that gain. And I'm just talking now about when you sell an investment property and buy a property that becomes your home.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the holding period from 3 years to 5 years. Okay?
Okay, now is this strictly if it's a 1031 exchange going into the property? In other words,
exactly.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with if you sell an existing piece of property that's your homestead property in Florida.
Exactly.
Okay. It doesn't have anything to do with that. That you can still sell every 2 years, buy
exactly.
it, live in it, live in it for 2 years and then turn around and sell it after the 2 years is up and still have the tax advantage of the $250 and $500.
Exactly. So all of you people listening in, this only affects people who are rolling into their home from some other investment property.
Great. Okay. That's fantastic.
But here's the good part of all of that is that there has been some controversy in the past on whether or not you could do that, where sell an investment property and buy a home that becomes your residence and then wipe out the gain after you've lived there 2 years.
Right.
And there's some people out there, some attorneys and CPAs that say, no, you can't do that. That's too good to be true. And what this change has done has made it crystal clear that absolutely, yes, you can.
Right.
You just have to own the Florida property for 5 years.
Well, you know what? I think that's a good law change because, like you're saying, it locks it in so that we know that it will qualify with the IRS without a doubt, obviously.
What a great way to turn $500,000 into tax-free money.
Oh, you've got that
and
right.
And so, Donna, would you wait an additional 2 years?
Sure.
To get $500,000 tax-free?
Sure. In that two-year period, my property would be worth a lot more money.
Appreciating, sure.
Appreciating. And in the meantime, you know, I could rent it out for a longer period of time.
Sure.
And take other tax deductions on that period of time than it's being rented out, correct?
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of advantages to this law, actually, rather than a disadvantage. At first, I was upset about it when I first, you know, I saw it on the little things that you send to me, that you email me.
And
I was like, T-shots, thank you. I saw it on there, and I was like, oh, no, you know, don't do away with that law because, you know, or the ruling, because I thought it was going to really affect our market down here. But instead, I think what's going to happen is the investors are the only difference is they're just going to have to own that property for just a couple of years longer than what they would have otherwise.
Oh, God, I think it's a great deal.
I do, too.
You've owned this purple duplex up in Minnesota for years and years and years. You got a big gain in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you sell it, you got to pay tax on it.
Right.
You love to come down to Florida on vacation anyway. Heck, sell it, do a 1031 exchange, buy the Florida property, and then when you retire in a couple of years, move down there, move into it, live in it 2 years, and it's all tax-free.
Now, let's go into this a little bit deeper. Okay, the law says you have to rent it for at least 1 year, the first year of doing the 1031 exchange. It has to be an investment considered property. So if it's a rental, like a condo on the golf, that means you need to have it rented out during that first year, correct?
Exactly.
Now, after
that... No. Hang on a second.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be rented out.
Ah.
You have to try to rent it.
Gotcha.
So you could put it in a rental pool. You know, it wouldn't have to be rented every single day. You just have to, you have to go through the motions of trying to rent it.
Exactly right. And I remember what you taught us on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say that first year has gone by and it's been rented maybe a few times. Mm-hmm. Now we have 4 years left before they can actually sell it for the gain tax-free.
Right.
Okay. After that four-year period, or after that first-year period, do they have to live in it on a contiguous basis, or can they live in it for a year, rent it out for a year, live in it for a year, and rent it out for a year, or how does that play out, or do we know?
We know. Once that first year is up and they've satisfied their 1031 exchange requirements, then out of the next 48 months, 24 of those months, it has to be your personal residence. So it can be any 24 of the 48. So you can move in for a couple of months, move out. You know, move back in for 6 months and move out. You could live in it during the winter and then move out. I'm sorry, live in it during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm right where you are. Live in it during the winter,
mm-hmm.
the off season,
right.
move out, and then during the summer, rent it during the height of the tourist season.
Which is, there's a high demand for that because we have
exactly.
a lot of snowbirds, so to speak, mm-hmm. that like to come down here in the winter months to get, you know, Canadians and
sure.
northerners that really want to get out of that snow. They come down here for 6 months out of the year, and then they go back home during the
yeah.
summer months and get away from the vacationers and all that. And so that
yeah.
plays perfectly into their scenario in trying to help them to be able to utilize the property at its highest and best use and get the highest and best rent income out of it during those 6 months or thereabouts that they're not in it.
Sure. So if somebody mm-hmm. still had family ties, let's say, back in Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
then they could come down there, live in this during the winter as their residence, and then in the summertime, go back to Minnesota, visit the relatives, and rent this out.
That is awesome. We need to take a quick station break here and get your questions ready for Gary when we come back on the air. We want to hear from you if you have any questions about this or about any of the 1031 exchanges or tax laws out there, or just a general real estate question. Get your questions ready and give us a call right here at 233-9988. That's 233-9988. Gary will be right back in just a couple of minutes, so don't go away. And I'm back. This is Donna Fries, and we have Gary Gorman on the radio show today, and we're so glad to have Gary here with the 1031 exchange expert all the way from Colorado, and thank you, Gary, so much for being on the show with us this morning.
Well, you're welcome, Donna.
We have a caller. We have a question about refinance or refining a rental property. Scott, are you with us, hon?
Yeah. Hi, Donna. Hi, Gary. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Scott.
Scott, I'm great. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, I had a question. We're in the process. We have two houses here in Panama City. One of them we have a mortgage on. It's at like 7.75% interest, and we were going to refinance one of our houses to pay off the townhouse out on the beach. Now, we were contemplating using our primary residence to go for a mortgage loan, but then we decided to use our rental property because I think we'd be better off tax-wise as far as write-offs at the end of the year. Maybe you can give me some feedback on that, Gary, if I'd be better off using the rental property for refinancing as collateral versus using my primary home.
Well, I don't know the details of your primary home, so depending upon those details, it may not make any difference. But certainly, absolutely, if you refinance your rental property, that interest is deductible for you.
Okay, that's the answer that I was looking for.
Yeah.
I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, you deduct that on Schedule E, where
yeah.
you report your rental income and the rental expenses.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. And my primary residence is paid off, so I'd be basically taking out another mortgage on my primary residence to pay off the townhouse to get a lower interest rate.
Yeah, as a practical comment, even though the interest on your house would be less if you put the mortgage on your house rather than your rental property, typically owner-occupied interest is slightly less.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My advice to you is put your loan on the rental property. Keep your house debt-free, because if anything happens, you know, if you lost your job or had a medical emergency, you could always sell the rental house and dump that debt.
Yeah.
And you would still have your house without any debt. So
okay.
That's my advice to you.
All right, I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Donna. You guys have a good day.
You're welcome, Scott. But before you go
right.
there, Scott,
yeah.
You know, you're saying that to refi the investment property was going to be 7.75% interest?
No, that's currently what our interest rate is right now.
Oh, yeah. You can get
yeah.
a lot better rate
oh,
than
yeah.
that.
Yeah. That's why we decided to refinance on the piece of property. It was just to get a much lower interest rate than what we have.
You need to call. You need to call the two guys that I work with, Reliable Mortgage.
Okay.
I just refinanced a piece of property, and I'm in. I mean, really, really low, low rates. I mean, below 5%. So you need to call these guys because you may want to shop around before you lock yourself in with anyone as to what kind of rates you can get. And let me give you their number. Are you located on the beach, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Their number on the beach is 249-3765.
Uh-huh. Okay. Maybe you can tell me. I got the lowest interest rate that I have right now is 4.875 on a 30-year fix.
Okay. That's not bad. But you do need to call these fellas before you lock in on anything and just shop it and see what they can do for you. I just did a refi at 1%, and the reason I took this 1% because it's locked in for 5 years.
Yeah.
But I don't intend to keep the property that I financed. So
yeah.
I did a short-term deal and took advantage of the 1% interest for a short period of time. But they do have really good fixed rates, you know, to where you don't have to worry about that if you, you know, plan on keeping your investment any length of time.
Okay.
But you do want to talk to them. That's Rob West's phone number there, 249-3765. And over in Destin, it's 654-9957. So give one of the guys a call, and they'll be glad to help you on that.
All right, thank you very much, Don.
All right, Scott, thanks for listening.
Take care, Scott. Bye. Thanks.
That was an interesting call, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying about keeping your personal residence debt-free.
Right.
You know, you just never know what's going to happen in life.
That's right. You don't. And the thing that is, though, you can't really write off the interest on the investment, or did you say you could?
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
You can't.
Yeah. You can, yes.
You can, yes. Okay. So you can write off the interest on the investment as well as the interest on the primary residence then.
Yeah.
Okay. So it really wouldn't make any difference either way in that kind of a situation. So he's probably better off to get rid of that 7.75% interest rate loan on the investment property and keep his home free, debt-free, just like you suggested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good advice. Very good advice. If you have some questions, if you're listening to our show and you have some questions either for Gary Gorman or just a general real estate question, don't hesitate to give us a call. Call us at 233-9988. That's 233-9988 or #101 on your Altel cell phone. Now, there were some other changes out there in the law, were there not, Gary?
Yes, Donna. There was a tax court case that came out a few months ago. U.S. Tax Court is the Supreme Court equivalent for tax cases.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big case. And it involved a vacation home.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the controversies, probably the big controversy in 1031 law, is whether or not a pure vacation home qualifies for a 1031 exchange when you sell it. Okay, so you got a couple that live in Minnesota. They own a property on the beach there somewhere between Destin and Panama City. They come down occasionally, use it personally. They never rent it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to sell it. Huge gains, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can they do a 1031 exchange and roll that gain into, let's say, a bigger condo? And that's somewhat controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a number of years ago, the IRS issued a ruling on vacation homes and 1031 exchanges. And the ruling involved a vacation home that had never been rented. And the IRS said, yes, it qualifies for a 1031 exchange, provided that you can prove some investment intent. And so for years, we've debated within the 1031 community what the definition of some is.
Yeah, really.
How much is some? And secondly, how do you prove that?
Right.
And so, you know, all kinds of theories probably aren't important now. So a few months ago, U.S. tax court case comes out, And it, and the case dealt with a number of other issues which were bigger than the 1031 part of it. But they get right down to the end of it, and the judge says, this property, this vacation property, this property is investment property, meaning 1031 property, meaning you can sell it and do a 1031 exchange solely because the wife of the taxpayer testified in court that when they had purchased this property 10 years earlier, one of their reasons for buying it was the future appreciation of the property.
Right.
Well, think about that. Who buys property with the expectation it's going to go down in value?
No one.
No one.
That just opened up a huge door.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody buys property with the expectation, even if their intent is to use it personally. And in this tax court case, the ruling was that their use of this property over the last several years before they sold it was purely personal.
Mm-hmm.
Even if their intent is to come down and use it as vacation property when they come down from Minnesota, because one of their intents is that it appreciate in value, that makes it 1031 property, meaning that they can sell it and do a 1031 exchange and roll the gain into the next property.
You know, that's huge. You know, common sense, you would have thought, you know, that this would have been part of an acceptable 1031 exchange with the IRS in the past. But like you said, it's always been a questionable situation. But with this court ruling, now you said this was from the Supreme Court. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's from U.S. Tax Court.
The U.S. Tax Court,
which is the Supreme Court of tax law.
Gotcha. Okay. That just opened up a huge door. We have a caller with a question, and we're going to need to take a little short station break here. But let's take Claire on line two. Claire, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Donna. How are y'all today?
Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Claire.
I had a question. I've got some apartments that I've turned into condominiums and have got pre-sales on. I'm wondering after these are sold, I've got a piece of property that joins the condos that I'm doing single family housing on. Can I turn the condominium profit 1031 those into the new project? Is my question.
Claire, you're going to build single family homes on that, and what are you going to do with those homes when they're built?
They will be sold.
So you're going to build spec homes, in other words?
Correct.
Okay, then, Claire, the answer is no. You cannot do that for two reasons. Reason number one is you cannot do a 1031 exchange and, as a general rule, roll the money into property that you already own. And the second reason is that if you did, for example, if you didn't own this land yet, you were in the process of buying it, when you rolled it in, you had to roll it into property that you held as an investment for at least a year and a day. And when you build a spec house, that year and a day doesn't start until you get the certificate of occupancy on the house.
I see.
So what if
I kept a couple of them for rental property, would you be able to do it then, or is it too late because we've already purchased the property?
You've already purchased the land?
Yes, I actually got some advice from someone here in town on this before I did it, and they told me there was no way to do any kind of a 1031 on it at all, so I just went ahead and purchased the property. I had it under contract for a year, and then just have recently closed on it.
Well, Claire, there's a technique called build-to-suit, which is a 1031 technique based upon a couple of rulings that the IRS has issued in the past couple of years. That will let you, if it's structured exactly right, will let you sell your old property and take the money and build a building on land you already own. It's called build-to-suit. A couple of problems with that. Problem number one is that the IRS is in the process right now of rethinking their logic in allowing that. Without going into all the details, it's bad law. And they're starting to realize that it wasn't a good idea to issue those rulings. That's problem number one. Problem number two is if you do a build-to-suit type transaction, the steps that you have to jump through, the hoops you have to jump through to make this thing work, are very expensive. Mm-hmm. And so if your project isn't $1 million or more, I'm going to tell you it's probably not worth it.
Mm-hmm. All okay? right. Thank
now,
you so much
Claire.
For your time.
Okay, Claire, one last thing. Mm-hmm. If you want to pursue the build-to-suit thing further, what you have to do to make it work is way beyond this radio show. On Monday, call our office, and our office toll-free number is 866-694-0204. And one of our CPAs or attorneys will walk you through what you have to do to make it work and how much it would cost you. And that whole discussion with you is free to you.
Okay, that sounds great. I've got some other investments I'd like to talk with them about, too. So thank you very much for your time, and we'll be giving you a call Monday.
Okay, Claire, we'll talk to you then.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling in, Claire.
Uh-huh.
Very
great
good
question.
Yeah, and I think the value of what she has there is probably going to be far, it's probably going to be worth her time to investigate with you. You know, as to what's going on there, Gary, and I definitely want you guys to take good care of her. I happen to know this person, and she's a great, great lady, and make sure and take real good care of her because she's got a good project there that she's trying to do, but this might save her some costs, you know what I mean, on being able to do a 1031.
Yeah.
And if it's possible to do it, I mean, it could be a good education for all of us, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, we take good care of all of our customers.
I know you do.
But yes, we'll take care of her and we'll walk her through it and she'll understand her options and her costs.
Okay, I appreciate that. That was a great question, though. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who buy and sell property. Of course, I have a fellow that I have a contract pending on a piece of property for him, and this was a good question for him to hear as well because this could affect something that he was thinking about doing down the road.
Yeah, in my book, I've got a whole chapter on build-to-suit transactions.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. So we can really, from the book, we can learn so much. I mean, that's going to be such a good guide into, you know, how we can structure what we're investing into, what we're buying and selling down the road,
mm-hmm.
and teach us, you know, firsthand how to think about it. I know that doing 1031s, you have to have a different thought process than just thinking about buying and selling investments and all that, you know, it goes in far deeper. We're going to take a little station break again. If you have any more questions for Gary, get your fingers ready to dial. The number here is 233-9988. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. We're back. This is Donna. You're cruising with Donna, and we're rolling with Gary Gorman from the 1031 Exchange Experts out in Colorado. Gary, thank you so much for being on the show today. So glad that you're
no
here.
Problem. Yeah, I wish I was there.
Yeah, really? Well, now, let's talk about that. You're going to be here in March, correct?
Yes.
You're going to be coming back down, and we're going to put on another seminar like we did in June this past year. So I need to get people to email me or go to my website, DonnaFries.com. That's DonnaFries, all lowercase, DonnaFries.com, okay? So just go to my website, send me an email, let me know that you're interested in signing up for the seminar. The seminar will be in the latter part of March, and we're talking about charging a little something for the seminar, but with this one, they're going to get your free book or get your book with it.
they'll get the book with it included mm-hmm. in the price, yeah.
Right, which is quite a, I mean, that's just awesome to be able to have you there giving them instructions and having the book to be able to take home with them to refer back to. And having your services is just worth its weight in gold, period. If anyone's interested in doing any kind of investments, these are the guys that can tell you how to do it to save you a lot of money. But you got to call them before you sign that dotted line. Am I correct on that?
That's
Garrett?
Correct. Absolutely.
I get calls from a lot of people who have already made the transaction, done the transaction, just like in Claire's situation. She probably could have avoided, you know, or could she have avoided a situation there if she would have called you first before she bought that property?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I got a call yesterday from the chairman of the board of our bank.
Mm-hmm.
And he was selling a property up in the mountains and wanted to do a 1031 exchange and roll into a property that he's having built. But he's having it built on land that he already owns, and the building is almost finished. And so, you know, and it's somebody that I talk to all the time. If he would have mentioned this to me before he closed on the land,
mm-hmm.
I could have saved him many, many, many tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. It you know, this is the thing, and the, just like Claire said, now she was talking to someone down here prior to doing this. But unfortunately, they're not familiar with a lot of the rulings and a lot of the things that can be done, legally can be mm-hmm. done, and qualify with the IRS like you do. I mean, it's
yeah.
just awesome, your knowledge that you have. Now, you've been doing this for how many years, Gary?
I've been doing this since before you were born. Yeah, I was involved in my first exchange back in 1973.
Wow.
And I was with Arthur Anderson and Company.
Mm-hmm.
I was a tax manager with them, and we had a client that did a 1031 exchange under the old laws. And have just been with it ever since.
And you have a lot of good people in place there. You have attorneys, and you're a CPA, and you have attorneys as well as CPAs on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have about 30 on our staff.
Right. And you teach them all the little ins and outs and all the things that can and cannot be done. And if there's something that they're not familiar with, of course, they can always get the advice from you. And you have kind of like a direct connection there with the IRS as far as being able to discuss whether or not a particular situation could or would qualify, correct?
We do that. We have meetings a couple of times a year
mm-hmm.
where we have an opportunity to sit down and talk to them about how they feel about this thing or that thing or... you know, what they see coming in the future with 1031 exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things, and it's true with the IRS in general, but as the people change, and when you get to the top level of people at the IRS, these are highly gifted, highly intelligent people that are not paid really anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty common for them to get hired away into the public sector, or is that the private sector? To get hired away into the private sector to work for two or three times the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a consequence, the people at the top of the IRS that deal with 1031 exchanges, they change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as they change, their philosophy and understanding about 1031 exchanges change.
That's true, because
and
you have a new person with a different outlook on it. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a group that spends time educating them about how we see 1031 exchanges from our side of the desk
mm-hmm.
and talking to them about what they see as the big issues and cases that are coming out,
mm-hmm.
you know, that type of thing. You know, one of the things the public doesn't know, you guys see the court cases when they actually come out. And what's more important to us are the court cases where the taxpayer caves in and the case never gets published.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And there's a zillion out there, aren't there?
Sure.
We have a caller. Gary, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hey, Gary. This is Donna.
How and this doing? Is Gary.
Yeah, this is Gary. Gary.
Hey, Gary. Gary.
My question is, I've bought several small rental houses, and they've increased in value to where there's a profit, maybe $20,000, $25,000 when I sell them. Is it worth doing a 1031 exchange on something like that?
Do you live there in Florida, Gary?
I do.
Okay. So that means that you're not paying any state tax.
No.
Correct.
So when you sell those, they're rental houses, you've taken depreciation on them, you're going to have to pay back that depreciation.
Right.
And that depreciation is going to cost you probably 25%. When you pay it back, and then the rest of the gain is going to be taxed at 15%. So you could assume that your overall gain is probably going to run you, or your overall tax is going to run you about 20% of the gain. So if you have a $25,000 or $30,000 gain, your tax is going to run you, your federal tax is going to run you $5,000 or $6,000. Your cost of doing an exchange will run you right around about $750. So there's many thousands of dollars worth of savings there for you.
Mm-hmm.
So even with as small a gain as that, I would say, yeah.
Okay. Well, I have another question. You know, the woman talked about the property next door. I bought a house that had some excess land that I can build some other rental houses on. Would it be wiser to sell that to another corporation that I own, and like when I sell a few houses, and then buy it for myself in another corporate name? Can I do that?
We have less than a minute.
Okay.
Go ahead, Gary.
Gary, there's the IRS has what are called related party rules. And probably the easiest way to answer your question with the time we have left is to give you the toll-free number and have you call and talk to one of our experts.
Go ahead. That number is 866-694-0204. And Gary,
yeah, and they'll talk about the ownership of the property, and they'll figure out what you can do, Gary.
And what's the name of your book?
It's called Exchanging Up.
Okay. You've been listening to the Real Estate Radio Show. Gary, thank you so much. From 1031 Expert, Exchange Experts, thank you so much for being on the radio show today. We really appreciate you being here. And make sure and stay tuned next week. We're going to have some exciting hosts coming on the show, and Gary will be here in March.
CNN Radio News, I'm Jim Ribble.